Yo, homeboy, where you been, man? We been looking for you.
Yeah, we ain't seen you around Burger World lately. So where you been, huh?
Oh, you know, around.
Want a piece of pizza? Think I got extra piece around here somewhere.
No, that's okay, thanks.
Yo, ding dong, man. Ding dong. Ding dong, yo.
No, thanks, really.
Yo, eat this, man. It's good for you.
I'm not really very hungry right now.
Hey, man, what it is with you? You on some kind of diet? Is that what they teach in that little sissy school of yours?
Back off me, man. Back off.
The question is, are you fat or what?
Leave me alone.
I said, are you fat?
Get off me, man. Stop it.
You ain't down with us no more. You ain't fat. You ain't fat.
You ain't fat. You ain't nothing. You ain't nothing.
B-A-B-Y. I was going to maybe spell it all out, but it's just going to go too long.
Yeah, well, don't make any mistakes. That would look bad.
O-I-L-A-N-D-B-L-O-W. What's that spell?
W's, baby oil and blow.
Yeah, we did it right. It's me, the big time Matt O. With me, as always, my guy, he is Hercules to my Paul Roma. I'm talking Nate Adams.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody.
I said,
welcome back in to another week of you and me tag teaming these mics.
Boom.
I really like that Hercules Paul Roma tag team. Mm-hmm. I think people shit on them.
Yeah.
They had sweet tights with little zigzag lightnings on them. Mm-hmm. They had a team name, Power and Glory. They had a sweet finisher, the Powerplex.
Mm-hmm.
What more do you want? You got one like guy who can mat wrestle and looks cute. You got another guy who's the big brawler, like a brawny type guy.
I'm strong.
You know, it's kind of just like they had that whole Hart Foundation type thing going on.
You kind of resemble a Hercules Hernandez.
Yeah,
that's why I went
hair,
with
that's
this.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That Paul Roma, he gets a bad rap.
He's a nice boy.
I'm not so sure about that.
No, he is. I know.
Oh, okay.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, so we're
a good dude.
We're hot off a big weekend of Instagrammed a lot of pictures of that pro wrestling party we were at. Had a lot of pro wrestling stuff going on.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, you saw pictures of our sweet costumes. Dan Seven, Bruiser Brody. We were looking good. Good times.
People dug it.
Yeah, I gotta say though, we looked great. Most everybody else like half-assed it.
Phoned it in?
Yeah, we had a couple girls in full-on costumes. Everybody
that
else
stepped it up.
Was kind of just like, oh, I'm wearing a wrestling t-shirt, and that's good enough for a wrestling party?
No. That's Sergeant Slaughter costume.
Oh, yeah. She looked very
in
charge.
It was good stuff.
Everybody
man.
Else who just showed up in a wrestling shirt or just nothing wrestling related at all, step it up. Don't go to a theme party if you're not getting in on the theme. Come on.
Mm-hmm. We had three females go like all the
that's
way hardcore
many.
With wrestling get-ups while all the guys phoned it in.
Pathetic.
Yeah. Come on.
So last week, we struggled through that post-Starrcade episode of World Championship
Wrestling.
It was
all that tryptophan, bro.
We had a lot of tryptophan in our system, a lot of 20-second squash matches that weren't worth talking about. We kind of struggled.
They never are.
We got through it. This week, we're back watching the WWF. We're back watching Primetime Wrestling.
And they're
by the Grill and the Brain.
They are at the Mecca.
They are in Madison Square Garden, home of Rude New Yorkers.
Hey, I'm watching wrestling over here.
That one guy in the third row.
Forget about
it. No sleeves on his shirt, who just kept flicking off the camera every time.
And then running up to the rail. Oh.
Running up to the rail and flicking off the camera and then going back to his seat.
Hey, I'm on TV, Sally. Hey, this one's for you.
Grown man, mind you. But this week, not much of a turnaround, but you know, better than last week, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was more entertained watching this than I was watching
There was
what we suffered through last time.
There was wrestling.
You know what? Let's just give him the rundown.
Sponsored by
Stifler.
Okay.
And his new movie coming out, Dude, Where's My Car 2.
Mm-hmm. You know, Ernie Reyes Jr. is also in the rundown.
Oh, really?
I'm just putting that out there.
He's a close personal friend.
He was a star in it and a stunt coordinator. He is.
Don't remember why I wasn't invited to the premiere, but I must have been busy that weekend.
Probably was.
So, yeah, Stifler presents The Rundown on this episode of Primetime Wrestling.
The Rundown.
It's episode number 65 from 05-26-86. First match, we got Tony Atlas. He's in there versus King Kong Bundy.
Tony Atlas.
So back and forth. Bundy gets a pin after Atlas eats some knees, going for a splash, and then Bundy drops an elbow. You know,
big
cut
elbow.
And dry. Cut and dry. Big elbow. Tiger Chung Lee, the Korean martial arts expert. I think they called him Korean.
Yeah, he's Korean.
That sounds like a Chinese name. I mean, I'm not going to...
They bill him as being
Korean. Hi-hat anybody on
they,
that, though.
They keep saying the big Korean.
I don't know all that much about other cultures. He's against Leaping Lanny Poffo, Primetime Wrestling stalwart. Poffo gets his ass kicked the whole match, but then wins with kind of a hurricanrana out of the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Bret Hart versus Special Delivery Jones. We're back to these Hart Foundation split up into singles matches things. A little bit of a go-to.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. When you were watching this, did you, for like the first 5 minutes, think that you were watching another episode that we had already watched by accident?
Yes.
Yeah, so did I.
Because it was like the fourth or third time that...
Go back.
Yeah.
Just like... Oh, wait, they did that last week.
They split up the Hart Foundation?
You're saying most of what they said last week?
One of them's... fighting one of the killer bees? Oh.
So I thought maybe they'd swap killer bees opponents from last week and like we'd get the new matchups and then building towards a tag match. But nope.
No,
Brett's in there against Special Delivery Jones. He wins with a backbreaker that comes real quick. Jim Neidhart's in the next match, Brett's partner. He is in there against the opposite partner.
No, he fought Jim Brunzell last time.
This is I thought he fought Blair last time.
No, I think
this is the same. This is a rematch.
Who can tell?
Either way, they went to a time limit draw, which was a poor decision.
Who cares?
Oh, they did not have enough material to fill out that time limit.
Ugh.
The Golden Boy, Dan Spivey.
He's going to be somebody.
He's on his way up. We got him 2 weeks in a row now. He wins with a running bulldog, I believe it was, against a gentleman named Paul Christie.
It was a bulldog.
Then we got a... Big match, big final match, Hercules Hernandez, glorious locks of flowing curly hair versus Superfly Jimmy Snuka, wannabe C.V. Afi. You know, Herc rolls through a crossbody attempt by Afi, then he grabs a handful of tights and he gets that pin.
Hercules Hernandez's first appearance on this here Baby Oil and Blow show.
Is it?
Yeah,
I thought we'd seen him once before.
No, I don't think
I guess
he had wrestled
mistaken.
Yet.
Also, we got some breaking news coming out of this episode.
What?
Bobby the Brain Heenan has just acquired the contract of wrestling free agent Harley Race.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
That was a big one.
That's big news for the future right there.
I mean, he snatched it right up, too.
He says that they go back a long way, him and Harley Race. And, you know, I don't know who this quote-unquote Harley Race is because he's never been on WWF television. But
no.
Rumor has it somehow he knows how to wrestle. He's not wrestling in Madison Square Garden. I don't know where he would have learned.
Did you say Harley Race is or Harley Racist? Because that could be a different wrestler altogether.
I feel like we'll see what gimmick they stick him with.
I'm Harley Racist.
Might
if there's one
Harley
thing
racist.
I love, it's motorcycles. If there's one thing I don't love, it's anyone of color.
That's racist!
Keep America great now.
Harley
was
Racist.
What he was saying back then.
Yeah.
That was his...
Keep America great right now.
We're going to go. We're going to end this rundown. Thanks for the money, Stifler. Cha-ching. And we're going to go into our next patented segment, our five talking points that will take us through this episode so that we don't have to get bogged down in every boring detail. Let's just stick to five each.
Five.
Talking to five count.
Five count.
What's your number one in this five count?
Yeah, real quick, shout out to... our guy, Bobby the Brain Heenan, opening up the show.
We got to wait till we're 3/4 of the way through the episode, and then we start giving all the shout-outs to the anniversaries and the birthdays and stuff.
Oh, no, that's WCW.
You'll just keep trying to
that's
talk
TNA.
About the wrestling and over you.
We'll
I'll just be saying,
Bob and Beth are celebrating their
Bob
47th anniversary.
Beth Kaczynski.
That's not a good way to run a show, WCW.
No.
Okay, let's get that shout-out in, though. What happened now?
Bobby the Brain Heenan talking about how he's still filling in for Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Gorilla.
Shout out. The shout outs to Gorilla.
Still,
yeah.
Still
he's filming that movie.
Yeah. Bobby insists that he's the new host.
Yeah, but Gorilla says he's filling in for Jesse Ventura while he films that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, it's in the jungle.
And it's some kind of jungle movie.
Some kind of jungle movie. They should have got Gorilla if they're filming a jungle movie.
I just love the idea of them just being like, what? some kind of jungle movie.
Vince isn't going to put over Predator. No. That's not going to make any money. Jesse's going to come crawling back looking for his primetime wrestling spot back.
I heard Vince made them fire Jean-Claude Van Damme as the Predator because Vince said he was too small.
That makes a lot of sense.
He's too small.
Predator's got to be big. God damn it. I want to see a physical specimen.
8 feet tall.
Give him dreadlocks. Yeah. He'll take his mask off and he'll have glorious dreadlocks. Yeah.
Like he's from one of those ghettos.
Vince really earned his executive producer credit on that.
He sure did, man.
And, you know, that came out and he was just like, well, time to go back to work, Jesse.
Yeah.
And Jesse was like, man, I ain't got time to do studio wrestling shows.
Ain't got time for movies.
Ain't got time to do studio wrestling shows.
Get it? Like your line. Get to work. My first thumb up is going to go to, I'm just going to give it to King Kong Bundy and Tony Atlas.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Those two against each other.
It was a good little match. It was a big guy versus a really strong guy.
Mm-hmm.
They did all right.
That's what I wrote down.
Atlas was still a little green, but, you know, he did some things. I like he does a lot of weird jumping offense.
He does. Because he's in there against a big guy. He's got to use his speed advantage.
Yeah, but I feel like last time we watched him wrestle, he still did like weird jumping offense.
Showing off his athleticism.
He's just like, I'm strong, but look how tall I can
pick up things.
Look how high I can jump.
Or I could leapfrog things. Am I going high or am I going low?
Like
you don't know.
Does a lot of these weird jumping, connecting headbutts, but they work. Mm-hmm. It was great. Mm-hmm. I like at the immediate beginning of the match, we had some garbage throwing.
Oh,
I don't know if you noticed.
No, I didn't see anybody throwing
garbage. Well, you know I noticed
this,
because
this demure New York crowd was throwing trash at the show they came to see.
Hey, can I ask you something?
What?
What's forget about it? What is that?
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Forget about it?
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
You know that if there's one thing I love, it's throwing garbage in a wrestling ring.
If there's one thing that I hate about modern pro wrestling audiences, and there's not.
Thank you, because I was going to talk about it if you weren't going to.
It's their complete unwillingness to throw garbage at the ring.
If you're listening.
Crap is happening that they don't want to see.
If you're listening, they're not going to ban you for a lifetime from that arena.
Yeah, because we don't want our paying customers coming back. No.
And plus, once you throw garbage,
everyone's throwing garbage.
What are they going to do? Stop all of us?
It's a garbage party. If everybody's throwing garbage, then nobody's throwing garbage.
We're going to make hats instead of make...
I'm Spartacus.
Instead of make America great again, we're going to have make America Nitro again.
Oh, wow. Make America throw garbage again.
Yeah. I want that Nitro ending every night. And there's plenty of reasons to throw your garbage these days.
I mean,
they're giving you a litany of reasons.
Raw is probably on as we're recording this, and I would assume if we would turn on the TV right now, we'd see something we wanted to throw garbage at.
Correct.
There's
correct.
No doubt in my mind.
So we had some garbage thrown. We had a nice weasel chant, and then the whole match ends, you already said, with the elbow drop, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter. But they cut back to
the... You see that big time jumping that Tony Atlas was doing. It backfired on him when Bundy got to his knees up. He's like, this guy's doing too much jumping. I'm going to teach him a lesson.
Heenan distracted him.
Mm, he did.
By putting his hand on the second rope and saying something to
Heenan
him.
Heenan said he was just shouting some encouraging words at him. So I don't know if that's a valid excuse
on Gorilla,
Tony Atlas's part.
Gorilla feels like it's Heenan's fault, but I don't see it either. But,
no, absolutely not. That's malicious accusatory there. I support you, Bobby Heenan.
I like that he and Gorilla Monsoon called out Hulk Hogan fan.
Oh,
that was sitting
man.
Front row.
Yeah.
Just right
like
behind the announcers.
That's what they go
just
into.
The whole show going into business for himself.
Fucking Heenan's crack. Just because you put some hair thinner in your hair and grow a mustache doesn't mean you're Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
What's hair
great.
Thinner? I don't know, but he's
he knows about
riffing
it.
Riffing on Hogan's bald head's pretty good for me.
Back in 86, no less. Mm-hmm. Like, that's pretty cool that he was doing it.
Don't dress up as wrestlers and sit in the front row and try to get yourself on camera the whole show.
Anytime, like, a heel took a powder anywhere near him, like, he got up and did, like, the, you gotta face me, brother.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just like, you're not really strong. You're just kind
of
fat.
So we were talking about couple weeks ago with these people who bring their championship belts to the wrestling show and flash around their championship belts.
Not cool unless you're black, dude.
No, man. These wrestlers are supposed to be trying to earn these championship belts because they're special. Yeah. If, like, every fucking doughy loser in the audience has one over each shoulder, like, how does that look special? Come on.
It's not cool for white guys to wear those.
No, let's suspend our disbelief a little bit. Make this shit magic.
So those are the things I liked.
Yeah, that's my number one, too, kind of. I was just saying, What I liked about it was that nice dichotomy of the big fat guy versus the big strong guy.
Yeah, they did it well.
Which I'm going to get into later during the three count when we're talking Ooh. Fat guys. I mean, there's a difference between how a big fat guy wrestles and how a big strong guy wrestles.
Fat day, Tony Atlas.
The irresistible force as a, you know, a nice gorilla cliche.
Mr. Universe.
Against the immovable object, King Kong Bundy. And these guys, they know what they are and they're doing it. Atlas is the outstanding athlete, so he's not trying to, like, take Bundy down and grapple him and put him into submissions. And Bundy's the great big fat guy, so he's not trying to, like, show how fast he is or that, like, ooh, he could pull off these high-flying things even though he's so fast.
He moved around well, but
he's
yeah, he wasn't.
Using his size to his advantage and also to its natural disadvantages because he's a little bit slow and he can't get his handle on Atlas. But once he does, he smothers Atlas.
He's got that wonk eye, too.
That's how you tell a story. You have to have, like, a set of attributes and, like, they give you positives that work out for you and then negatives that eventually work out for your opponent. And that's what makes wrestling cool. It's like, let's put it in terms for all you internet people out there. It's like building a video game character or Dungeons and Dragons, what's it? It's like,
yeah.
I got 24 dexterity, but my agility's only at 4. These wrestlers these days, they're all like, oh, we got 24 dexterity and agility. And then, you know, if
across
everybody can do everything, 24
is across the board.
Then nobody can do anything, and it's not interesting.
Yeah.
I want to see Jean-Claude Van Damme Bloodsport. I want to see little jumpy monkey man versus big bouncy boob peck guy. I don't want to see like all jumpy monkey men fighting each other. That's not interesting.
Jim Cornette's right. You know, you kick out of that super move off the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what am I going to believe is supposed to beat you?
Goddamn.
You know?
Killing the damn business.
That's what it is.
Bundy spot and Atlas monkeys. Weren't killing the damn business.
Not spot monkeys.
Bloodsport wasn't killing the damn movie business. They didn't cast 20 ogres. They cast 20 guys who were all different.
And one guy that played ogre in Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, one ogre, because every movie could use an ogre.
Yeah.
Ogre looked cool in that movie. He had all those
cool
bandanas and sweatpants, and he was drinking
all
those Budweisers.
Looked cool as hell.
If I had a sort of just, like, aesthetic as far as my fashion goes, I'd say it's pretty much like ogre in Bloodsport.
Hell yeah.
That's what I'm shooting for, at least.
Mine's, like, definitely Van Damme.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
In Bloodsport.
I was thinking you were kind of like a slicked back hair Van Damme in Double Impact. That's what I was picturing for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, a little bit of that, yeah. too.
A little bit of a ladies' man, a little bit of a scoundrel.
You pepper in a little bit of Van Damme's Legionnaire, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have very vivid memories of what Van Damme was like in Legionnaire.
Of course.
Everyone has seen that movie.
Yeah. Bing it.
Our number ones, just talking about those guys. That's pretty good. We talked about Brain and Gorilla ripping on Hogan, which I wanted to get in there. I wanted to make sure we got in there on that. So,
oh, you can't look past it.
Let's move forward deeper into this episode.
Let's
do a number two.
I'm starting on number two right here. I'm going to get to five of these.
We're barely even into this episode. That's another beer for you.
Working through some things, you know?
Working through some beers.
Hell yeah. Taking care of business, working overtime.
TCB.
Workout. My number two is the second match of the night.
Oh, wow. You're just going right through it like clockwork.
And I'm sorry that it was joined in progress because because we got robbed of my guy Leaping Lanny Poffo's beautiful poem.
Yeah, like, I know he read a poem. I know he threw out some Frisbees. That was probably more entertaining than the match itself, so like, why is that the part that gets cut?
Yeah, don't those sons of bitches understand that I have a bit by now where I write down word for word what Poffo says?
Like, lay down maybe just like a little jazzy beat, and you can
like
freelance what you think
yeah,
his poem might have been.
Yeah, I probably
should have
like put a little pen to paper and like thought of what it would be. You know,
okay,
like,
yeah, I refuse to do improv comedy. I'm not going to sink to that low. So.
Although we're in New York and I'm fighting Tiger Chung Lee, I ordered the number one sweet and sour pork.
Oh, no.
Nah, this is just going to get right now.
This is our crazy improv comedy group, the Monday Night Wars. We do wrestling-themed improv comedy.
Monday Night Warriors.
See us every Monday night at
Zany's
Silver Spoon Cafe uptown in the square.
Two together. Here we are. Face to face,
an enviable life.
A couple of silver spoons.
Oh wow!
Yeah, well, let's
you
do.
You really watched that show, huh? You knew the whole.
You know, maybe
I hated that show when I was a kid. I thought it was boring as sin.
Yeah, well, you were just jealous that your parents weren't super rich and didn't have a train.
Don't remember
your house,
what came on after it during the day, but I know that it was something that I wanted to watch, so I had to like suffer through a lot of Silver Spoons, and I just ended up resenting it.
I'm going to call you out on it. You're from Northwest Indiana, and you didn't like the fact that he had a black friend.
That's racist!
He didn't have a black friend. That's not a real thing.
Carlton was his friend.
No. They had a business relationship.
They were friends. Oh, like Virgil?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he had a Virgil?
That was what was happening right there.
Oh, man. I should have realized.
I can't believe you didn't pick up on that. You were a very naive child.
Well, can we just do a weird remake where like instead of like Silver Spoons, it's just about young Ted DiBiase and young Virgil?
I think it's just like, yeah, young Ricky Schroeder offering to give his butler money if he performs various tasks screwing him out of the money.
Everybody's got a price.
And Carlton is just like slapping 100 against his palm and like shaking his head like, Ricky Schroeder.
Ricky Schroeder have such a husky low voice?
Would have been a better show. I would have liked it more.
What were we talking about?
You were talking about
wrestling.
That second match.
Leaping Lanny Poffo. So it's joint in progress. And for once, like, usually I'd be like, good, because you know me, I don't care for
Thank
Mr.
Heavens.
Poffo.
Yeah.
But this one was fun. It was a nice little match here.
I'm hot and cold.
Heenan's right. Poffo is a punk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He stated. He said it before. He said it again.
He said it again.
So Gorilla, you know it's something that he believes.
Gorilla's like, well, that's all we can say about that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which Heenan was okay with. But one of the things I really loved about this match, the announcing.
Okay.
Did you notice it?
We had Gorilla and Lord Alfred Hayes on announcing, all right.
They are going out of their way to tell you just insight on the arm drag and why Tiger Chung Lee has like way taped up. He doesn't wear boots, but he's got super taped up ankles and feet.
Absolutely.
And they're like, well, you know.
He's from a different land.
Gorilla's like, he's doing these deep arm drags. And when you whip like that, and you're coming down and your legs cross over and they slam down onto the mat. Mm. You're going to get those deep bone bruises from where your feet are hitting the mat. And it's like, yeah, and you visualize it. You're like, I could see that, Gorilla. And he's like, so he's taping him up. You know, this is what he's doing.
That's smart.
And they're talking about
somebody should have told Ricky Steamboat that trick.
Yeah, they pointed out the loose ropes during this match.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you know, you take this into account, blah, blah, blah. They're talking about scouting. Maybe Tiger knows about some injury that Leaping Lanny Poffo has. They're putting over story, man.
They're bebopping
they're
and
giving
scatting
you stuff.
All over this
they're,
match.
They're giving you what I call stuff.
Yeah.
Unlike Shavante and Davy Crockett.
Well, I think that was kind of a cheap shot at Tony and Davey. You know that they both have issues that they're going through.
Tony,
you know that,
how's Grandma Shavante?
You know that they both have mental handicaps. We've established that. They're doing their best out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to say the announcing in this match is probably the thing I enjoyed most, along with that, like, Poffo's little comebacks he'd get every once in a while, but I thought Chung Lee got too much offense here.
I liked it.
I thought it was just too repetitive. My number two is kind of how to do methodical like offense when you're working heel, which Tiger Chung Lee was doing the same thing over and over again. He's going into a side headlock and then hitting him with a throat thrust. Getting him in that side headlock, hitting him with a throat thrust, and it's just the same shit. There's not really much energy to it. And you go on to that next match, and Bret Hart works a very similar style, where he's a heel, where he's picking him apart. He's, you know, getting those stiff little snappy strikes in, and he's just breaking the man down. But he's, you know, he's methodical, and he's very, you know, precise about where he's going to hit somebody, but he's varying up what he's doing. He'll throw him off the ropes and then strike him, or he'll come off the ropes and then strike him. He'll do a stomp. He'll do an elbow. He'll do an atomic drop. It's not the same thing.
He works those subtle hair grabs
again
to close space.
Yeah, those are nice. He's creating movement.
And then, like, looks at the ref like, did you notice that?
He's staying on his opponent and, like, grabbing a hold when it's, you know, it makes sense, but then he'll work that hold and then
spitting at the guy when he's down on the
mat. If the guy gets out of the hold, then he goes back to the strikes. Mm-hmm. Whereas Chung Lee was just grabbing a hold, hitting a strike, throwing him against the ropes, grabbing a hold, hitting a strike. It was the exact same shit over and over again. It was like, all right, this isn't working out for you. So
Tiger Chung Lee was old. That's just what they did, man.
Let's have some repetitive. Let's have some ebbs and some flows. Except you're all like ebbs, man. I want to see ebbs and flows, and you're giving me all ebbs, Tiger Chung Lee. Too many ebbs.
Back then it was just like, just do whatever until the good guy does his flashy moves,
and then he did them.
Crowd's happy.
Like to have seen a little bit more.
Crowd's happy.
Lanny Poffo getting to jump around and do his weird smiles. He couldn't because
those ropes were so loose. Yeah, man.
He had to sell that whole match.
It's
Bret Hart,
hard to jump off these ropes.
I guess my
when
point is
so loose.
My number two is a controversial opinion. Bret Hart, better wrestler than Tiger Chung Lee. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna say it. You could quote me on that.
Well, that's Also, my number three was just how good Bret Hart is in that match. So we were both right there.
We were both right there, yeah. Special
he did good stuff.
Jones has a little bit of like a dusty shimmy going on.
I liked that guy. Comebacks. I'm going to say right now. So, I
really think Bret put that shit over when he was begging off during his little dusty shimmies right there.
He
so.
Had, what was it? I should have written it down. God damn it. He had some kind of big move and then did some little dance about. He was just like,
I don't remember this specific
We be clubbering,
move.
But he was all right.
I got a couple days in between when I watched this and,
SD Jones.
As I go through my notes, I'm not finding that it's all just like coming
just
back to me like
right
I watched
back.
It yesterday. It's it's all a blur. It's like starting to feel like we've watched the same episode of television over and over again in some sort of deranged, fake fighting Groundhog Day situation.
It's like that episode of Twilight Zone where... Mm-hmm. Guy wakes up and everybody else is crazy, but they all think he's crazy.
Oh, yeah. I'm not crazy. You're the one who's crazy. You're making me crazy. Only one who was a Pepsi. Give it to me. Mm-mm. Shout out to Pepsi. Moving on to that Neidhart match. I got like a number three here where I'm just saying like, Jim Neidhart, I think he was underrated overall as a performer. This guy, say what you will about this match because, oh boy.
How boring it was.
These guys did not have enough material to fill this time, so they're just grabbing rest holds.
Boy, did my eyes get heavy.
Said it before. People throw that term rest hold around too much, but these guys were just beating that clock by laying in holds. But when they were actually wrestling, if this would have been like a jaunty, like 7-minute match like it should have been, the stuff Neidhart was doing is great. Like, this guy is working holds, which people don't realize he could do, I don't think, because he was just cast as that sort of like burly brawler in the Hart Foundation equation, and then all the technical stuff
he was much
Bret
more,
was doing.
He was much more technically sound than like I realized.
Yeah, and he's fast. Like, he hits those ropes fast. His like forearms look stiff. God, he's he's got that power stuff, sure. But then he does that sweet like little slingshot over the top rope.
You're like, talking about a former Dallas Cowboy,
it's
sir.
It's not like a dude like doing like flippy shit. He's still just using his bulk as a thing. But
he's
like,
just using speed paired with size.
Throwing just caution to the wind and throwing his bulk around. Plus he's got that goatee he can stroke and that like laugh he does. Mm-hmm. And he screams promos really good. So true. Like, he's got everything you want from an 80s wrestler. I'm just thinking about how like, they split these guys up. Bret Hart became one of the most famous like wrestlers ever, big main eventer. Like, what if Jim Neidhart didn't have all his drug addictions and alcoholisms and whatever the hell was going on there, all that stuff that was going on there, and he was a more reliable hand, and Vince was like, hey, I could count on this guy, and they kind of just pushed him as a heel alongside Bret as that face run. Could they have both made it to the main event? Could Jim Neidhart have essentially been Vader? I'm wondering. Ooh. You give that guy strong booking, you really like this match should have just been him like pounding the shit out of this dude. Yep. But instead he's like going hold for hold with him, and they're like doing just generic Matt back wrestling. And forth wrestling. Nah, like Neidhart should have been beating the crap out of this guy. And then Brunzel, like every once in a while, like a Lanny Poffo character, gets a little bit of like a high-flying comeback. That's not how they work the match.
This is where I jump off the ropes.
But, better booking for Jim Neidhart, and I think he could have ran through some guys and gotten super over as just like a big, deadly beast.
Yeah, I agree. He a good dude.
Trashes a hotel room because he's out of control on drugs or whatever, and then you gotta send him back up to Calgary for a while.
Oh, hold on, I'm sorry.
Send him back up to Calgary for a while.
Did something change like a day or so ago? Do you not like to party anymore? Is that what I'm hearing?
There's a time and a place. There's all those times that Ric Flair did all that gross shit, like showing people his erect penis, and like, I don't know.
That's not gross. That's called the gift that keeps on giving.
Well, he knew the time and the place to do it, because he never got fired from his job or arrested.
No, you do it on a packed airplane around all the boys, all the fellas.
There you go. Yeah. It's a controlled environment.
Yeah.
He got away with a lot of stuff. I guess Jim Neidhart just wasn't as much of a slick talker. Maybe that's a difference. If you can still talk a good game.
I'm just thinking about like Jim Crockett like pulling like Flair aside and just being like, no, Rick, just you can't be showing your penis to Sting all the time.
You know, I did it and we're all still here. The world's still spinning. So I'm not sure I agree with and your opinion there,
he's
Jim.
He's probably doing like the classic bully, like, oh, he knew it was just a joke. We all had a good laugh. Like,
didn't you, Sting?
Stinger gets it.
Hey,
tell him, Stinger.
Tell him. Tell him that you didn't care.
Tell him. I didn't care, Mr. Crockett.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not a big deal.
So look, Jimmy, we done here or what? Rick's got a couple ring rats to bang.
I got a lot of people to show my erect penis today. I can't be standing around in this ridiculous meeting all day long.
You know what kind of erect penis schedule that man kept?
From what I hear, it was
just daunting.
Yeah, endless meetings. Anyways.
Back to wrestling, away from erect peniles.
Mm-hmm.
This goes to one of my favorite erect penises, Camo Carl.
Yeah.
He got a little promo.
Mm-hmm.
What's his Corporal Kirshner?
Corporal Kirshner. Camouflage Carl.
I didn't write anything down, as you can see here, other than the fact that I just wrote Camo Carl and then
thumbs up. Okay.
Because I don't know. I was in that state where it was like, oh, I'm getting really sleepy trying to watch this and write notes about, you know, that
senseless time limit draw.
And
really.
He just hit, it just really worked me into that borderline dream state.
Mm-hmm.
And then Camo Carl hit the screen and just starts yelling about, like, you see, I'm carrying around this American flag. I love America. And if there's one thing it taught me, is that America and you guys are Russians and you guys are commies.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are like a couple of commies. And he said something about being commies. And then, like, he pointed out his shirt, which is one of my favorite 80s promo moves.
Uh-huh.
Where, like, you run out of stuff to talk about? Just walk people
through.
Check out
these shoes I got on.
Walk people through what your shirt says, man.
Is that Airborne?
It said something across the bottom. I should have wrote it down. I forget what it was. And he's like, it says this right here. And then up here, it says Airborne.
Mm-hmm.
And like he said it as if he was going to like pontificate
about
that.
But enough said.
He's just like, it says Airborne.
Yeah, you just wrote down Corporal Kirshner or Camo Carl thumbs up. I had a little bit more.
Oh, okay.
What I wrote down was Corporal Kirshner looks like a fucking drug addict.
Huh.
So yeah, he's standing out there just
I think the words you were searching for was American hero, but
the patriotic military hero. Meanwhile, he's just got scruff all over his face. His eyes are glazed over. He's got that raspy voice. It just sounds like he was out partying all night.
Yeah.
Just this dude's like the racist bro you meet at a Massachusetts suburb house party. This is not the clean cut army hero patriot that Vince is putting a square peg in a round hole here. He should have let this guy go out there and scumbag it for real. Like that could have got over.
Yeah. Like, oh, here comes party guy Kirshner instead of Corporal Kirshner.
Oh, he forgot where the ring is. He's wandering over to the snack cart again and stealing hot dogs.
Just these.
Oh, he just touched that underage girl. Other security. We're gonna have to cancel this match.
They refuse to serve him, and he just whips an empty
give
keg.
Give him the drunk Jake Roberts at the Hero of Wrestling pay per view gimmick.
Yeah,
just have him stumble out there and just be sexually offensive.
You want to play aces and eights?
Mm-hmm.
I got those two.
Eventually, you build up to a big, like, lights out match or something where it's like Kirshner's finally going to wrestle because, like, there's no way he could get arrested in this empty arena right now.
He can't get around it.
So we know he's finally going to wrestle.
This is your payoff.
That could have been big.
Yeah, he definitely has less of that American patriot look in his fatigues and definitely more of that homeless guy underneath the overpass holding that sign.
Fourth of July thing going on.
Like, I'm a vet, please help. And then you're thinking to yourself as you like
they could have went in that direction.
You make sure your doors are locked. you know, and you're like, oh, like did you really serve, sir?
They did with Ken Shamrock later on, where it was like, oh, don't push Ken Shamrock, or he's going to snap and get in the zone.
The zone.
Like, oh, don't make loud noises around Kushner, or he's going to go back PTSD. To the war. Like, oh, look at him. His eyes are glazed over. He's going back to the war.
He's got fatigues. He was in the service, but he does heavy drugs to cope with what he saw. Like,
abandons the match he's in to go backstage and start looking for Tiger Chung Lee.
He should have just been, absolutely, he should have been like playing out like scene for scene First Blood, you know? It's just where he's just like, I'm just trying to get by. I'm just trying to, I guess I'm a wrestler. I guess I work here, but please don't agitate me. I'm just.
Can you imagine the feud he could have had a couple years down the line with the Big Boss Man? He's playing the veteran drifter and Big Boss Man.
What are you doing here, KMO Carl?
Yeah. Trying to kick him out of every arena. Like,
kicked out this backstage area for vagrancy.
Keep walking.
I just came here to get some food.
I just came here.
Catering.
I just saw catering.
Protein. I thought maybe, like, I don't know. Not looking too muscular these days.
Catering.
Vince wants me to, you know, bulk up a little bit. So.
And I'm with my friend Kamala. And he's like, I can't. Where's my legs? I can't feel my legs. And I'm like, you're going to be okay, Kamala. Where the road ends, that's the place for me.
Number are we on?
Five. I don't know.
Were you even talking about that as a number? Or
yeah, just, that was my okay. Yeah, that was my number four.
Okay, my number four is kind of just like a Dan Spivey. We're talking about last week how
he should be your four and five.
He was just laying in rest holds and like his match was real boring.
Yeah, not this week, huh?
So like this week he looked a lot better, and it's from how the match was ran. Like we're talking about that Anvil match. It should have been booked to his strengths and. Booked to Brunzel's strengths. It should have been a quick match. Anvil should have ran through him, and then Brunzel should have went for a comeback after taking a huge ass beating. Instead, they were both laying in each other's holds, killing time. Spivey didn't have much time to kill this week. He had a real short match. Got in, got out, so he did his shit. He didn't have to lay in holds and do nothing. Or, you know, you don't have to lay in holds and do nothing. You have a long match. But if you're not capable of having a long match yet because you're new in the business, you shouldn't be having long matches.
Correct.
So they kept it quick and to the point, and he looked a lot better. So I'm saying book your matches to your talent. Like, let them, give them a platform to succeed.
Plus, you're thinking the same thing I am. Mm-hmm. Never mind, you don't want to see more out of Golden Boy Danny Spivey. You're interested in seeing more out of Mr. Paul Christie.
Yeah, Paul Christie.
He looked
from
like
pompous to cowardly in like 0.2 seconds right there. So I was like, he looks like he could have some heel credentials. But then he just ended up kind of getting squashed.
Yeah, but I think, you know, given the right opponent, he might be able to flash some of those characteristics that
I
we
like
love.
To see him, I think he's a little short, tiny guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems like a real cowardly slash cocky, depending on whether he's in charge or not heel.
Yep.
I'd like to see him in there against fellow midget Scotty McGee.
Oh.
A little guy with all the fire we saw a couple times. Neither one of them would look so tiny. They're standing tiny next to each other. You got one fired
that
up baby
nice
face,
match.
One cowardly little wimpy. Yeah. Give me some Paul Christie, Scott McGee.
I'm excited. I'm hoping we get a little more of him. I'm thinking he could become a favorite of the show.
Mm.
And they were billing him from Hickory Hills, Illinois, which is a stone's throw from us.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's true.
I think we
local
may be,
boy.
Yeah, we might be able to find this guy.
I mean, I don't see him as, like, you know, getting to Iron Mike Sharp level love with us, or like a Rene Goulet level
Rene
love with us. But
Goulet.
You know, in their absence, we haven't seen them in a few weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah, he was a nice little heel job guy holdover.
WWF, man, like, they make you care about those jobbers. Whereas WCW, or NWA, whatever, they didn't
Crockett promotions.
Yeah, they didn't give those guys a chance to breathe.
No, they
and he had some good stuff there.
You know, like half breed mental defect hillbillies down there. Up here, you got a lot of guys who just know how to look like cowardly idiots and make it entertaining.
That's my other question. Like, it's WCW, it's NWA, it's down south. How are these guys so pale?
That's true.
How do you, like, live in Georgia or Alabama and remain so pale?
Spending all their time under those willow trees, brother.
Oh, it's...
sipping on sweet tea.
It's too warm out there. I don't think I'm going to wander off in the
stay in the shade.
I'm just going to rake a couple of these leaves and just stay here.
Oh, is that our number fours, or have you done a five?
Nope. Okay. That's four. I got a five.
Five out of you, then.
The big fiver.
We're running out of stuff.
I'm giving the big high five.
Getting to the end of this episode.
To our debuting Hercules Hernandez versus... the often imitated, always awful CV Offley.
You don't got much. CV Offley? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's him.
Yeah.
He's like Jimmy Snuka, but smaller.
And Worcester. And Worcester.
As I understand it, there was a whole string of these guys who Vince tried to recast as Jimmy Snuka after Jimmy Snuka went away.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Can't do it. Vince doesn't work.
Jimmy Snuka murdered his wife. I wish he would have murdered me so I didn't ever have to see CV Offie wrestle.
Wow. Piling on CV Offie this week. I feel bad
for you. The bodies hit the floor.
Okay, so you were into Hercules Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
Underrated wrestler.
The crowd liked CV Offie.
They
were behind him.
There was a lot of boring chants.
No, that was the previous match.
No, that was every match.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It did come over in this one.
They started chanting boring at everything they saw. Like, this is just an asshole crowd of New Yorkers who came to something to boo it.
Forget about it.
There were some okay moves.
This is the one where I noticed the dude in the sleeveless shirt.
There were some awful moves. Oh no, he was in a couple of matches.
Yeah, but this is when I noticed him, and I was like,
he had sunglasses too.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he had like
got those bright lights in there. You got to put sunglasses on.
He had like that awesome like Jim McMahon hair where it's like kind of slicked back but still kind of poofy on top. And then he had like a mustache and like big shades too. So he just had like an awesome 80s look.
Yeah.
And just sleeveless shirt. And he's just like betting his buddies like, hey, Sally, check this out. I'm going to run up there. I'm going to give Cable the finger again.
Oh, I don't think that he actually came with anyone. If he was saying that to somebody, it was people next to him who he'd never met before. And they were just like, oh, okay, man.
Oh, God. Oh, please let this guy stop talking to us.
He's ruining our whole evening.
Oh, Jesus.
Why does he keep talking to our six-year-old daughter, Sally?
Don't make eye contact. Mm-hmm.
Maybe he won't come back this time.
Yeah, stupid New Yorkers.
He'd happen to look at the skin tags in his armpits. I wish he kept the sleeves on his shirt.
Skin tags. The New York
skin
story.
Skin tags, a pretty cool gang name, don't you think?
Oh, hell yeah.
If I ever joined like a street gaming, I'd want them to call me Skin Tag.
Skin Tag. That's pretty cool.
So yeah, Herc was pretty good using his power to like smother Offie, but Offie's offense is too boring to make his comebacks matter, so.
And he's bad at wrestling.
Yeah, originally I was like poo-pooing this crowd for like chanting boring at everything, but then like after a while I was kind of like, well, you got a point.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys jumped the gun a little bit, but eventually you have the point.
CV Offie does one cool thing.
Yeah, that's my number five.
And it's the top rope cross body to the floor.
Over
the announce table.
Over that table. I was like, I got a five. I still got to give something, and there's nothing here.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to give it to that incredible leap he made.
It really was.
Most of it was just a cool move. Gorilla looking at him as he traveled over his head, just like what the hell?
Fuck is this guy doing?
Did a good, like, I'm Gorilla Monsoon. Like, this is ridiculous. Why are people jumping over me? I don't get paid enough.
This is not what I signed up for.
You could see a nice little, like, reflection of CD traveling across Gorilla's colored shades as he moved his head in a nice arc. It was very cinematic.
Lord Alfred Hayes. My! Oh, what a maneuver!
Lord Alfred Hayes strikes me as drunk. How about you? You think he's drunk the whole time he's talking on these shows? British guy, probably he's got like a nice gin drunk going on before the shit starts up.
I could see him being way too liquored up and them like chasing 12-year-old boys out of his locker room.
Oh, boys, huh?
Just like, oh, God, he's got another one in there. Get him out. Get him out now.
You had to monitor those things back then.
Come back. I'd give you an autograph and a gin drink, young man.
Drink some gin drinks with Lord Alfred Hayes, probably.
I'd like to give you an autograph and a gin drink, young Nathaniel.
Gin drink O'Hare.
Gin drink O'Hare.
That was an amazing
Is he dead?
Lord
Is he
Alfred
the dead
Hayes
one?
They're all dead. I'm sure he's dead.
I'm managing this young chap right here, Gin Drink O'Hare.
That could have been the thing that got him over. They stuck him with Roddy Piper, and the man crashed and burned.
This is like four or five amazing ideas we've thrown out.
Piper stole all his heat. Fucking
Silver Spoons remake, spinoff, all of it.
They should just, that little British guy they got with the umbrella now, who's on their cruiserweight
Jack
division.
Jack Gallagher.
Yeah, they need to just make him Lord Alfred Hayes Jr. Yeah. And give him a tag partner called Gin Drink O'Hare.
Gin Drink O'Hare.
Just repackage one of those other little cruiserweights you're not doing anything with.
Just one of them's Irish, I think. They just got to get him like a drunk Irish guy and call him Gin Drink O'Hare. And it's just like, my Gin Drink, dial it in, sir.
You ever want to start doing this wrestling for real, Vince McMahon, you know, give us a call. We got a lot of ideas over here. We're just spitballing. Okay, here we go.
That's a third right there.
Is that a little indication that we're done with the five count?
That's three right there, which means it's time for...
Moving into that three count?
No, I'm probably going to have to piss pretty soon. Okay. There's a lot of beer I'm drinking.
All right, well, let's take a break and do some commercials. You can pee during that. And then, after that, we're coming into our fat boy themed three count.
Oh, fat.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If the Three Stooges made you laugh yourself sick, the Fat Boys could put you in the hospital. In Disorderlies, this greedy nephew is having unhealthy thoughts about his rich uncle.
When he dies, I'm going to inherit everything.
What?
What I need are the worst orderlies in the history of nursing care.
This can't possibly be the new order test.
Is the world's noblest profession going to the dogs? But the Fat Boys aren't the heavy. Their job is to breathe new life into an old Palm Beach millionaire.
Stop the mouth!
And they're going to save him the best way they know how.
Put me down!
By accident.
You guys kill me. Another night like this and I'll die.
So relax. Get some rest. Eat properly. Drink plenty of fluids. And try to survive the Fat Boys. If the Three Stooges crack you up, the Fat Boys will fracture you. In Disorderly, they're three of the biggest heroes you'll ever meet.
I was overweight and embarrassed to go anyplace. AIDS helped me get back into a size 12.
The AIDS diet plan helped me get back into a size 6.
AIDS helps control your appetite so you lose weight, yet AIDS lets you taste, chew, and enjoy. And the appetite suppressant in AIDS is not a stimulant.
AIDS helped me lose the weight and has nothing in it that could make me nervous.
Question, why take diet pills when you can enjoy AIDS?
Come on, it's a three count, three count.
I don't know. Have any more words after that?
Good enough for me. He really got me back into this shit.
Did we do that one before? Free three count.
I think. You've been doing that for weeks.
Well, it's just catchy.
Anytime I talk to you, you're just humming that.
Yeah. I like it. Maybe I'll come up with another one sometime.
We should. Novel idea. Maybe start coming up with some stuff before we start recording this.
No. I just like
take things to a new level.
It's our improv spirit.
Just see where the wind blows us.
The three usually count.
Not too far from this desk we're recording at.
Yeah, that was
we stay right here.
I'm working on a new one. It's like Rihanna by Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, I thought we were
the
going
three. Count.
I think we're doing like a little Tom Petty, like, because I'm three.
Ooh, three counting?
Three counting.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one, too.
I'm going to make a list of these.
Three counting. Yeah, I'm three counting. I just like those backups.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Like, whose idea was that? Well, we'll just do the song, and then you guys just sit in the back and just be like, three, five.
Yeah, good idea,
just,
Tom.
Just sound like halfway interested in
another
what's
great
going
idea,
on.
Tom.
Yeah.
So we're getting into this three count.
Mm-hmm.
We're just coming out of that Thanksgiving holiday. We're all feeling a little bit chunky, you know?
Not me.
I'd have a few pounds to lose, brother.
I'm looking great.
All that holiday weight I'm putting on.
He's fat!
You know, we watched that King Kong Bundy match earlier, and he was just a big fat guy, you know, trying to use his weight to squash a dude. So I was thinking, you know, why don't we just work it in? Just keep this theme going. Talk about a subject that's near and dear to my heart. And we do our three favorite 80s wrestling fat asses.
Fatties.
Yeah, just big old hunks of men just lumbering around and, you know, almost wrestling, but not quite. Mostly almost. Just using their big butts to squash people.
It's always funny.
And there's, thinking about this, there's the classic Jim Ross Hoss. You're talking about like just a big old boy.
Just a big boy.
Tougher than a $2 steak. And then you got a wrestling fat ass, and it's not the same thing. And I was going through all these big guys I was thinking of, and I was just trying to think of it like, you know, is he a hoss or is he a fat ass? And what are the things that separate the two? And I don't know. I think there's a few things that separate them, but I think like it's sort of just like, you know, you look into your heart and you just got to make a decision.
What do I categorize?
Yeah, it has
categorize
to
categorize you as
case by case business. You just have to be like, what do I feel in my heart when I look at this chunky boy? Am I calling him a hoss or am I calling him a wrestling fat ass? So,
yeah, like those, like the Godwins.
Yeah.
They're kind of fat.
Call them wrestling fat asses, I think.
But JR would try to tell you that they're a couple of hosses.
Yeah, I had a lot of soul searching to do when I was trying to put this list together. And, you know, a lot of people I wanted to keep on that I was just like, I gotta say he's a hoss.
Yeah, go with your instinct.
I think a big distinction is hosses a lot of times are picking guys up and throwing them as their form of offense, whereas wrestling fat asses are using their own bodies to squish them.
Yeah.
I think, like, you could, you kind of, like, you do, like, a 60-40, like, you know, like, a corn to rye mash. You've got a bourbon, but you do, like, a 64, like, rye to corn. You got a rye whiskey. This is kind of like, you got a 60-40, like, squashing things with your butt ratio to 40% throwing guys. Then you got a wrestling fat ass on your hands.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's fat!
And, you know, that's get those, like, Samoans, and they're kind of just, like, a solid fat.
Man, that's
they look fat, but you feel like if you were just, like, punch their fat, it wouldn't really move. It kind of just stay in place, and you're like, what do I do with that?
Like,
I think
Umaga.
Samoans might be all hosses.
Umaga was fat.
Except for Yokozuna, like, was definitely a wrestling fat
ass. There you go, right.
He's fat!
Rikishi, probably a wrestling fat ass.
Most likely.
Yeah. Early, young career Rikishi, I'm going to say hoss. Islanders era. Late career, dancing and wearing a thong, Rikishi, wrestling fat ass.
Yeah.
He's fat!
Like when he was the Sultan? He wasn't
fat. That's when he was crossing over, though. I think that was his transitional period.
You think so?
Yeah, it's just like, you got to be very respectful of these people as they're transitioning from wrestling hoss to wrestling fat ass.
It's a delicate time.
He's trying to create this new identity for himself, so we have to make sure that we're supportive of him.
As a beloved dancing fat ass.
We're not referring to him as a hoss anymore. He'd really appreciate it if you'd stop calling him a hoss. I want you to start calling him a walking condominium, using those sorts of superlatives as he
gorilla
embraces
loves
his inner fat ass. Yeah, it's funny how much Gorilla, just like being one of the premier wrestling fat asses of all time, loves to just like rip on the new wrestling fat asses.
I was strong.
Talk
You're
about
not.
How they're not that great. This guy's not that great.
You're not.
Back in my day, we really made fat being a thing. These days, they're just being fat willy-nilly all over the place. There's no psychology to it.
The whole world wants to something right now tell you once again. Who's fat?
Boom, 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 boom.
And I'm going to tell you right now.
The whole world wants to know what's your number one three count pick. Who's fat?
Who's fat? My first one is going to go to Triple Fast Freddie Ottman.
Oh, wow. Okay. The Shockmaster.
He's a couple of people.
Better known as the Shockmaster.
Tugboat.
Mm-hmm.
Typhoon.
Mm-hmm.
The Shockmaster.
There you go.
I like him. Because of how much of a roller coaster his career was.
Oh, it sure was.
He came in, you know, well, he was at it for a long, long time, but he first, you know.
I don't know much about Tugboat's early career.
I think he was doing some territory shit before he was Tugboat.
First thinking of him as Hulk Hogan's buddy in the sailor hat and
the
striped shirt.
And that's where I'm starting because that's where we know him. He's a fat idiot, like, oh, is he kind of like that Warren from Something About Mary where he's, you know, maybe handicapped or slightly autistic?
Yeah.
Like, he's Hulk Hogan's little buddy. Like, was this a make-a-wish?
Down syndrome.
Like, hey, my wife like to wear a sailor hat and I won't be a wrestler. Yeah, you're going to come with me, brother, and I'm going to let you wrestle inside of a ring, brother. And it's like, ooh, uh-huh. Hulk, don't. No, like, he's autistic. Don't let him wrestle. Like when, but they did.
Hogan went to TNA late in his career. Yeah. And they tried to sort of redo, like, the my fat childish friend gimmick that they did with Tugboat with Abyss.
Yeah.
Who, like, had been just, like, a killer monster hardcore wrestler up to mm-hmm. that point. And then Hogan's like, no, you're my childlike little
buddy.
And I'm going to give you my ring, and it's going to, you're going to think you got magic powers. And it's just like, oh, man.
See, you're fat. That makes you slow in your head,
these
bro.
People really did hire Hulk Hogan and give him creative control.
Yeah, they did.
They have no idea what they're doing.
But
No idea.
Old Freddie Ottman, he's Tugboat. He's wearing the hat, and he's like, oh, I'm just having a real nice time.
I remember 90% of his offense was just corner splashes.
Yeah.
So that's prime wrestling fat-ass material.
He later transitioned to Typhoon.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the Natural Disaster Disasters with John Tenta, Mr. Earthquake himself. They were with the Slickster.
Mm.
And they were bad
the
guys
because
they were with the Slickster.
It's weird that the Doctor
or no,
Style.
Was he with the Slickster? No, they were with the
two fat asses.
They were with Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, they were definitely with Jimmy Hart for a while because I remember his
that's when they were
disasters airbrushed gear.
That's when
they
were
tossed
heel.
Around, you know, heel managers a lot those days.
I can't remember if he did any time with the Slickster. But either way, he was heel, and then he was face. And then people were like, well, he's not a goofball. Like, he's a good guy that...
Yeah, I gotta
he's
say.
Powerful now. He's a hoss now, but he wasn't. He was still a fat ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he left and went to WCW.
Smart move. That's where the money is.
Where
that's where the big boys play.
That big time debut.
Yes.
As who?
As the Shockmaster.
The Shockmaster.
Infamous stumbling through that wall and tripping and his helmet fell off.
Mm-hmm.
But was he just one and done with that once his spectacular failure of a debut happened? Or did he like stick around
for a while? He stuck around for a while.
They repackaged him or was he still the Shockmaster?
They tried to re-debut him I think in 95 or 96 as like son of Shockmaster.
Well, that makes sense. The Shockmaster was so beloved.
But
I tried to capitalize on that.
It was still just Fred Ottman as the Shockmaster. Mm-hmm. And he claimed like his, or not son of Shockmaster, but like Shockmaster Jr. I don't know what it was.
Del Shockmaster?
I don't know what it was, but because he would refer to like the first Shockmaster as Uncle Fred.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So it was like this like wink, wink,
well,
kayfabe
that's
type
meta.
Thing. I don't know.
It was, sounds way too complex.
It was
WCW
screwed up.
At the
time. It was a joke, but. Fred Ottman was just a big fat punchline for a lot of different times.
Yeah.
So my hat's off to him.
I liked him because he did so many corner splashes.
Corner splash.
I liked his big Tugboat toot toot. I wish he would have kept that around.
Toot toot.
They could have just called him Toot Toot for his WCW gimmick, and I would have liked
it. Oh, here come Toot Toot.
Would have avoided all of that stuff right there.
Oh, here come Toot Toot. I like the idea of like maybe him going to an ECW and teaming up with New Jack, and New Jack calling him Toot Toot.
Yeah, sure.
Like, this is my boy Toot Toot.
Did a couple of toots before we came out, and now I'm getting up on his shoulders and jumping off his shoulders
instead
and breaking
like,
my neck.
Instead of New Jack falling off stuff, he could have just fell off Toot Toot.
That would have been perfect.
Oh. That's another great wrestling idea. I think they're both still active wrestlers. So.
Yeah. I think they're both dead, probably.
No, I think they're both alive.
I'm fairly certain. I haven't thought about either of them in a while, and that's the case,
that's fair.
They're dead. Bing it.
Who
Bing
you
it.
Got?
Bing it. Fred Ottman death. I guarantee stuff comes up. I was I don't know. I was thinking, doing a lot of thinking, trying to decide what's a hoss and what's a fat ass.
Thinking.
I was thinking about Rhonda Singh, aka Bertha Faye in the WWF, but she had a real great career in Japan as the Monster Ripper, I believe she was called. Where she just had some wild brawls with especially Aja Kong, where they would just destroy the ringside area and beat the shit out of each other with steel chairs and, you know, just go nuts and freak out all those little Japanese people. But that's definitely hoss wrestling right there. And, you know, when she came to the WWF, they made her stop doing all her big suplexes and power moves and just squish people. And she was definitely wrestling a fat-ass style as Bertha Faye.
Oh, wait. Was she a great big fat person?
So I was like, do I include her? Because she made her bones as a hoss, and she was great.
King of fat ass style.
But when she was
put that on a shirt.
Working as a fat ass, like nothing, it got no reaction. So I don't think I can use her because she failed as a fat ass.
Yeah.
She's a hoss. So instead, I'm going with Crusher Jerry Blackwell. He's kind of resembles a Fred Ottman. You know, he's a slobby guy, big, you know, scraggly beard, long scraggly hair, big fat guy, just does a lot of splashes. And he had a great punch. So that was basically what everything was built on. He just had great punches so he could do brawls and then he could splash people in the corner. This guy had a great career if you really look at it. Not a household name these days because his run in WWF came a little bit early, but young in his career, he was a great foil for Bob Backlund.
Oh, Bobby B.
Bobby B, yeah, so he had a stint in the WWF, but then he went to the AWA where he became like a real main eventer, and he had some great brawls with Bruiser Brody. They just beat the living crap out of each other. Hold up and are very entertaining to watch, and I think most of all, he was one of the first big fat-ass monsters that a surging Hulk Hogan, you know, got over by body slamming. It was, you know, one of those big feuds.
Is that when Hogan was in AWA?
AWA, yeah. When Hulkamania was starting, he had all that momentum coming out of that Rocky shit, and people were real into him, and that formula of like
was
a big fat-ass coming out. Vern was in charge of that shit. That's sort of a format that they just kept milking and milking and milking for the next like 10 years or whatever and making so much money out of it. You take this big fat monster and have him go beat up Hogan and then Hogan slams him and drops the leg and it culminated in that big Andre match. But, you know, it started off kind of here with Jerry Blackwell. Yeah, I'm going to say he invented Hulkamania is what I'm going to say. So,
wow.
Good on you, brother. You created Hulk Hogan. By wrestling a sweet fat guy style, and I like you and Bruiser Brody bleeding all over each other.
That's big stuff.
Huge stuff.
That's triple
double
XL.
Wide. Double wide.
Triple XL stuff.
He's my number three. I did not go with Bertha Faye, even though I like your Japan stuff, girl.
Girl. My number two.
My number two, toot.
My number two, toot. He's fat, and he might not wrestle that fat guy really, style. Really fat. He might do more power and this and that, but he just pound for pound and looks alone.
He feels like a badass to you.
He can't be classified as a hoss. He's a fat guy.
Not a hoss.
I'm going Bam Bam Bigelow.
Bam Bam Bigelow is somebody I considered.
He's fat.
He's definitely fat.
There's no way around
He's perfectly round.
He wrestles hoss.
Mm-hmm.
He wrestles power. He's also got agility.
I think it was the cartwheels that made me go, I don't know if I can put him on there. He's doing cartwheels.
But at the end of the day, you look at him and you go,
he's fat!
If he didn't have the tattoos on his head, maybe I wouldn't think so.
If he didn't have the tattoos on his head, he'd just be King Kong Bundy.
Yeah.
That's why you get tattoos on your head.
Yeah.
Flame tattoos.
He's fat. He could wrestle.
He could. He did great.
He's the absolute tweener of what you're talking about in terms of rules for fat versus hoss.
Yeah, I'm going to say he's borderline. I mean,
but
you got to throw a ruling down. You got to look into your heart.
But you said go to your heart, and you look at him, and you say, that guy's fat.
I definitely considered whether or not he was a fat ass. And
I want you to think about it.
You know.
When you were a little kid,
uh-huh.
and he came on the screen...
Daddy, he's fat.
Yeah, you weren't a smart back then.
No.
Like, oh, I know everything about wrestling. You looked at him, you're like, this guy's fat.
Yeah, he has those like the kind of fat going on where he can't fully do a punch because like his arms can't move good enough.
Yeah,
like,
it gets caught up on his side boob. Yeah.
So I'm gonna say, it's just really when I was thinking about if he could make my greatest fat asses list, it was just the image of him doing those cartwheels just kept playing through my head. If he was a real fat ass, there's no way he'd be with those cartwheels.
But as a kid,
got all that core strength.
As a kid, I'm thinking, why is this fat guy doing these cartwheels?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Bro.
I thought that a lot when I was watching Chris Farley or
Saturday Night Live.
I was like, why is this fat guy doing all these cartwheels?
Guys. Yeah.
Get him out there eating too much food jokes
or
something.
Chris Farley's fat.
I want jokes about how he farts too much and how he can't ever stop eating.
Oh, toot toot.
And nothing else. That's all he should be doing.
Toot toot.
I know he loved to. Fred Ottman loved his toot toot, but Chris Farley loved his toots a little bit too much and tragically taken from us before his time. He was a funny, funny man. Speaking of fat guys, though, my number two, partner of Fred Ottman, John Tenta, the Earthquake.
Yeah,
the
I
Canadian
set him up.
Earthquake.
You knock him down.
Guy could move deceptively well for a big fat dude, but like instead of doing that, like I was saying in that King Kong Bundy match, instead of using that to like show off, oh, I can do these things a big fat guy shouldn't do, he just used it to not blow up in a match, and he still wrestled a big fat guy style.
Mm-hmm.
And all of his, you know, moves were just squashing people with his butt, essentially. And he was a sumo wrestler before he was a real wrestler. So he knew all about just using his big fat body to, manipulate other people's bodies. Like, he was pretty much a master of throwing his fat around and using it to knock people on their asses. And another thing that this guy had going for him, which I haven't talked about yet, but I think that it's pretty essential when you're talking about fat-ass wrestlers, is when you're cutting like a big fat guy promo, you got to get some slobber going that you can't control.
Oh.
Like you're yelling and like you're too fat to control Ooh. What's going on in your mouth. You just get like some real slobber like coming out of your mouth.
Like a Saint Bernard.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're fucking watching Beethoven here. Like... Mean Gene Okerlund's playing Charles Grodin.
Thought about it immediately.
He's so gross at all. He's grossed out by all that slobber coming in. You get John Tenta doing some of those screaming 80s promos, and he'd just have just drool slinging, just shooting spider webs at that fucking camera. Like, looked like you were watching some sort of horrible, horrible cum shot pornography, but it was all just, drool coming out of his mouth.
And he had one of the greatest fat guy feud.
Mm.
Crimes against anyone.
Fat on fat violence?
All fat wrestling. No.
Oh,
no.
I see what you're saying. A little bit of animal abuse.
Boom. Mm. Like, as a young kid.
Uh-huh.
Like, here's Jake the Snake, and he's finally
Our
just
guy,
this
Jake
good guy.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
And he's like, I'm the snake, I'm cool.
His beloved snake, Damien.
I've got my snake, Damien, and he's
friend
in the
of children.
It's safe. Pet him. I'm jerking him off, but just pet him, young kid.
No, that was years later.
Well, either way. How are you going to get a fat ass over... Is the ultimate bad guy?
Have him kill an animal.
Boom.
Using his butt.
Boom.
Yeah, he did that big gimmick where the earthquake just squashed Jake's snake with his butt and killed it, and then Jake was brokenhearted.
That's fat ass.
So that's how you know that, you're in the top three. You're legendary when they're just like, your butt's so big, we're going to use it to kill animals, and that's going to be the storyline. We're getting there. What's your number one pick? All-time favorite fat dude. Big old fat.
There was a gentleman.
What's his name?
Named George Gray.
Oh, I'm not familiar.
Yeah, you are. He wrestled a couple years.
I'm telling you, I don't know a George Gray.
He wrestled a couple
years. I'd
know
more than you would.
Doing a couple things as a couple of peoples. But then to 88, I want to say.
It was a very good year.
He was, drinking
very good beer.
He was in a little tournament thingy with a Randy Savage and a this and that.
Okay.
He was calling himself a one-man gang.
OMG?
A one-man gang. But it wasn't enough.
No?
No.
One is never enough.
No.
Once you pop, you can't stop. If you're a big fat ass and there's Pringles around, you know what I'm saying?
You see, in September of 1988.
Wake me up when that month ends, you know what I'm saying?
One Man Gang's manager, Slick.
A doctor of style.
He announced the gang.
I was thinking about him earlier.
He announced the gang was actually African and planned to re-embrace his race.
No, he seemed like a white guy to me.
Nope. And then,
sure?
Yep. September 24th, 1988, on an episode of WWF Superstars, there's a vignette with Mean Gene Okerlund on location in an American ghetto that was dubbed the deepest, darkest parts of Africa, where dancers dressed as tribal Africans danced and chanted around a fire.
Okay.
Slick then announced
that, sounds very atmospheric.
That gang would be known by his new name, Akeem, the African Dream.
Wait, that was the same guy?
Okerlund immediately called him out as the one-man gang.
Tattoo and the other one didn't.
Okerlund immediately called him out as the one-man gang.
Even through his, foggy booze haze, he was able to see it? Wow.
Even through his gin drinks, he knew. But he would then proceed to deliver promos.
I see Okerlund is drinking scotch. I think he might be a scotch man.
Just doing stereotypical jive talk.
He's definitely
talk.
Drunk. Oh, yeah.
Dancing like Dusty Rhodes.
Jive talking.
It was the perfect balance of Vince McMahon being racist.
Sure.
Which he loved to do.
Very much so.
Also, while burying someone else who was successful somewhere else.
So you're saying this is all a rib on Dusty and how he kind of acts black a little bit.
I'm not saying. I think we all know it was.
Okay. Yeah, and that makes sense to me. I'm putting it all together in my head.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime
type of thing. So I think it's a perfect storm of those things and his love of humiliating people who aren't in shape.
Yeah. It was everything. It's the trifecta.
Creating Akeem is the happiest he's been in his life, other than the time that he made Jim Ross kiss his ass.
I'm going to make fun of black people. I'm going to make fun of Dusty Rhodes. Mm-hmm. And you're going to look like an idiot because you're fat.
Ugh. Put him in a hog pen match.
It's just...
I want to see him get slopped.
It's special. It's Fat Wrestler Hall of Fame right there.
He's a good dancer. They gave him a stupid gimmick after having a decent gimmick, and he embraced it, and he made it work.
No. He wasn't going anywhere as one-man gang, you see?
I don't know. He got pretty far in that title tournament in WrestleMania 4. I had some high hopes for him.
No. He was mid-card. Mid-card.
Okay. Well, after they got him as Akeem, he got put in that sweet two fat guys put together tag team. Twin Towers, never forget.
Never.
Akeem and Big Boss Man, two big fat guys. I was thinking Big Boss Man is one of my favorites of the era. He's a great big fat guy.
Yeah.
Should I make him my number one?
I kicked that around
and
too.
And then I said, no, I can't do it. I
also came to that decision as well.
If you can just suddenly pull off a Chuck Norris roundhouse kick out of nowhere, if you can baseball slide out of the ring just at will.
Baseball slide and that roundhouse.
That guy
man.
Was not wrestling.
People aren't talking about that roundhouse
style.
Enough.
They did some good double splashes in the corner when they were the Twin Towers, but as a singles guy, Big Boss Man had the fat to be a wrestling fat ass, but he just had the style and the skill to be a hoss. I got to call him a hoss.
That's fair.
Controversially, I got another guy who didn't wrestle a big fat ass style, and I'm still making him my number one fat ass of all time.
Lay it on me. I'm excited.
You were just talking about him. The American Dweeb, Dusty Rhodes,
the
baby.
The Dweeb.
American Dweeb, Dusty Rhodes.
I knew. Yeah, I thought the same thing.
In my heart, I looked into my heart and I said that he's a wrestling fat ass.
He's fat!
Absolutely.
And he does a lot more stuff than just splashes and bear hugs and squishes. He goes out of there and wrestles for real. But when you look at how much this guy talked about his big butt in his promos.
Yeah, my butt's a little bigger. Yeah.
When you got... factor in that his signature move was called the flip, flop, and fly, and it was just all about his big old fat rolls jiggling around while he was doing things. And you just look at how fat he was, that he had fat on fat, splotches fat, and it was like his body was trying to grow a new fat.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the only big fat wrestler who's ever been just like the absolute money-making premier ace of a promotion as a big guy. Nobody else who's a big, gross, fat guy has ever got it done.
It didn't matter.
In my heart, he's a wrestling fat ass.
Absolutely.
And I feel like Dusty Rhodes is the greatest wrestling fat ass of all time.
I'm sorry, what did he wear when he was in WWF?
My polka dot!
Yeah, that's a fat ass outfit.
Oh yeah, nobody who's ever been normal weight or underweight has ever worn polka dots.
No.
Polka dots is for fat people.
Yeah. Only time
and
people...
And Minnie Mouse.
I was going to say, people of regular weights wore it in like 60s beach parties.
Oh, I've never been to a good 60s beach party.
Yeah, but since then...
You should throw one once the weather changes.
Hell yeah.
Get like a dump truck in here, dump a couple tons of sand in my backyard.
Longboards, short shorts... Mm-hmm. Polka dots for the ladies.
That
one piece.
Perfect to me.
Or if you're wearing a two piece.
Seeing belly buttons.
If you're wearing a two
you
piece. It's
got to be
up
above that
there
belly
you
button.
Go. Thank you.
Too.
Thank you very much.
Can't be staring at female belly buttons all goddamn day. I won't get any work done.
I'm going to have troubles fitting in the short shorts, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. All this talk about fat asses is making me want to raid the fridge. So that'll
go.
Do it.
That's a spirited list.
Another three counts. That's a. You know, one of my favorite things to talk about. I love just, you know, the spectacle of pro wrestling, the circus element of it. A big part of that historically, all throughout history, is you get the biggest, fattest guys people have ever seen. And, like, you just have them go out there and just have them marvel at how big and round and silly they look. Coming up next week, we're back down south. Hopefully they got more for us. Hopefully they got something up their sleeves this week while we're watching World Championship Wrestling.
Probably
from
not.
12/14/1985.
Probably not.
Fire up that WWE network and follow along with us, and maybe we'll all get some entertainment value out of this stuff.
Probably not.
Well, you know, not with that attitude, brother.
All right, I'll work on it all week.
All week. It's going to take me. I'm going to watch this one match at a time, but I'm eventually going to get through it. In between then, I'm just going to be like tweeting and Instagramming probably. And
you tweet. I'm going to do some Fred Ottman toot toots.
You're going to do some toot tootins. I'm going to do some tweet tweets. So follow us on, you know,
all
the
of
old
it.
Social medias. And
anything at Baby Oil and Blow.
Give
we
us
got
some
the
stuffs.
Market cornered.
Yeah, give us some likes or whatnot. So
we got
we
that
can,
market corner splash.
Stare into the abyss and not quite notice how much the abyss is staring back into us. Every time you hit a little like on one of those posts we do, you know, that's one more day that I'm stepping away from the hangman's noose and
not staring into the Joseph Parks.
Squeaking it out for a little bit longer. So you guys are keeping me alive. God bless you.
That's awful nice of you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, way to delay the inevitable.
Thank you. That's going to do it.
Do it for what?
NPR sponsored.
Uh-huh.
Baby oil.
And?
And blow.